working in areas that typically don't have a good witness for Christ. And Brent asked that question just a minute ago about did God put somebody in your path this week? And I went to take Liam. It's a ritual that we have. We go to IHOP and we get pancakes. That's just kind of what we do. We go to IHOP, we get pancakes, and then we come on home. And I'd put him in the car, and he was happy because Minions was on, so he didn't have it. I didn't have to worry about him. And so I was getting ready to get in my front seat of my car, and I saw sitting on a bench right in front, and y'all remember how cold it was Thursday with that wind blowing? I mean, it was going right through me. And I saw there was this guy, and he had a basket, grocery basket, so more than likely homeless. And y'all, I'm 63, and I've been dealing with this kind of thing all my life, and I tend to be sometimes hard-hearted and say, well, just got a drug problem. They just, you know, like that. But that's not what happened this time. God just said to me, he said, Bill, he wasn't asking for me. He didn't have a sign, said, hey, God bless, give me $10. He's just sitting there on this bench in front of IHOP over by Chick-fil-A on Central. And I went up to him, and when I got closer, he was crying. And I gave him $10, and I said, are you okay? And he mumbled something about somebody had stolen his stuff, and the police couldn't get it back, and he was just weeping. Y'all, it messed me up. It messed me up. It's different when you have someone holding a sign a lot of times. This was a guy who wasn't asking for anything, and he's out there, and you know what immediately comes to my mind is, where's his dad? Where's his granddad? Where's his mom? Where's his family? And he's probably in his 30s. And I gave him $10. And it haunted me all the way back to Mount Ida. I should have done more. And you know, I don't want the cheesy, oh, Bill, you did more than whatever somebody else would. That's not it. I could have, you know, it was a God moment for me. It was like, I should have done more. I probably would have bought him whatever he wanted or whatever, you know. And the whole way back, I thought as I had my beautiful grandson in the back seat, I thought, that's somebody's grandson. That's somebody's son. And here's the difference. I didn't see him as a homeless person. I saw him as a human. A human that was crying, that was hurting. And sometimes we don't see people as they really are. So, yeah, Brent, it was one of those unexpected things. It about killed me. We're going to talk this morning about 9 to 5. How many of you seen the 9 to 5 movie with, what's the lady's name? You know, it's such a, I haven't even seen it. I saw a part, have you seen it, Julie? No, we hadn't seen it. But I mean, when you hear that song, working 9 to 5, it kind of makes you kind of get a smile on your face and, you know, kind of want to dance and which is not the reaction that most people have to work. Oh yeah, Brandon, congratulations. You're official now, right? Awesome job. Police school done. And I'm sure your wife is glad. But you know, most people, when they think about their jobs, they think about it being just a job. And there's a lot of confusion. And you're going to think I'm crazy. You teenagers, you adults, you're probably going to think I'm crazy. And I probably am. And I believe it or not, I used to be normal like y'all and have normal jobs in the real world. Worked for my dad till I was in almost my 20s. And this morning, I want to talk to you about work. Because I have found that in America, we don't even like the word. We're constantly trying to hire people. I mean, you show me in this area a business that doesn't have a help wanted sign. And then from talking to people who hire people, my goodness, when they hire people, sometimes it's not much better than not having anybody. And we're really, in America, in my opinion, we're at a kind of a crossroads with work. How many of you have had a job? Raise your hand. I just want to see. Raise it high. Okay, good. There we go. So just about every adult in here, even teenagers. I remember Callie, you were snow coning it last summer. Is that right? I remember coming out there and, you know, I thought, man, she loves her job, selling snow cones. But the view that I get from many people is that their jobs, not just even jobs that you get paid for. People, I want you to listen to me. If you're a mom, you have one of the hardest jobs I've ever seen. Now, Lynn Howard, I'm going to get on you for a second. She'd always go, Brother Bill, I was just never anything but a housewife. Oh my goodness, never any, like it was the bottom of the barrel? I can't think of anything better than a housewife. But that's the way we a lot of times view our jobs. Or we think, well, I don't make much money, or I don't do this or do that. And the truth is, work is a spiritual thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now you see, when you get to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 started talking about that if you're a believer, you need to clothe yourselves with mercy and kindness and gentleness and patience. And you need to forgive people, and you need to quit lying to people. And basically, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through about verse 17, Paul says that if you're a believer in Christ, you ought to act differently. And then you get to verse 18, and he says, and if you're a believer, your marriage ought to be better. Your marriage ought to be different. And if you are a child, you ought to obey your parents. And then he talks about parents. And if you're a parent, you need to not aggravate your children and discourage your children. And then this morning he gets to the topic of slaves. Now I want to say this before I get into it. Most Bible scholars consider this teaching about slaves can be applied in modern times to being an employee. And some of you think, well, yeah, I feel like a slave at work, you know. And we've all been there, done that. But you need to understand there is a difference. In Roman times, when this was written, there were about 60 million slaves. They made up the middle class. In some cases, they got paid for doing work. Most of the time, they were a part of the household, and you had people who took care of your children and cleaned their house, and they were a part of your family. But we need to understand that there is one big difference between a slave and an employee, and it's this. You don't get the right to unslave yourself. You didn't go in, okay, I'm tired of being a slave, so give me my freedom. It didn't work like that. Now, many of them did give them the freedom when they asked for it, especially the church. Now, you need to understand that when Paul writes about slavery, he's not writing against the institution of slavery. And here's an important thing to remember. The reason is most of the early church, or a whole lot of the early church, were slaves. And a few of them became believers, But if Paul would have gone in there and said, hey, you Christian slaves need to rebel and do whatever, the Roman law gave the owner, the slave owner, the right to kill. And one of the things that most scholars believe, that they believe the way that you change slavery is by changing people's hearts. So Paul came in and Paul said, hey, if you're a Christian slave, you ought to be different. And if you're a Christian owner or boss, you ought to be different. And so I do want you to understand there is a difference between an employee and a slave. But primarily, the principles that are here are what we should understand for teaching our kids and ourselves about how to go to work. Now, there's a lot of, I wish I could ask you what you did for a living. It's always interesting to find out what people do for a living. And it's also interesting to ask people about why do you work? What's the purpose of your job? And a lot of people will say, well, the purpose of my job is to be able to pay my bills, to be able to have a house. That is the, I think in America, the predominant reason for having a job. And I agree that you need to have a job to be able to pay your bills and do those things. But I don't believe that's the only reason. Now, a lot of people look at their work life, and here's the way we do it. We say, well, my work life is Monday through Friday. Saturday is my day off, and Sunday is the day I go to church. That's my religious day. That's not correct. Because you see, Jesus wants to be Lord of your work week. You don't leave God at home, or you shouldn't leave God at home when you go to work. You should take Him with you, or you should realize He's with you. And I believe this is the crucial thing. If you have a job, you need to understand that work was created by God for a spiritual purpose in your life. Listen, I believe that work is one of the most beneficial things a person can do. And you say, well, I thought work was a part of the curse. No. As a matter of fact, God sanctioned work before the curse. Genesis chapter 3 is where the curse came, where sin entered the world. But in Genesis 1:28, it says this, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. In other words, man was given the job in the garden to take care of the animals and things like that. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. It literally means to work. Work, parents. The most beneficial thing that my dad did for my brother and I is he made us work. We didn't have an option. It's kind of like if you're in Ashburn, you're going to work at the ice cream store. Now, my sister didn't ever work at the ice cream store. I don't know if she ever had a job. There was a double standard I didn't ever understand there. And she watches. She'll probably comment on that. But my brother and I started off working. And let me tell you what. It was one of the best things for us as a kid. All four of my kids worked at Kroger's. One of the best things we ever did is we required our kids to have a job. Because you learn a lot. And but the thing that I've just become aware of is how many people in the church, Christians, don't realize that when you go to work, you're either pointing people towards Jesus or away from Jesus by the way you view your job. And I honestly believe that your job is meant to point people towards who God is. I think the biggest mission field that is out there is your job. I really do. So let's look at verse 22, which is the first biblical principle here. It says, slaves or employees, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Now, it basically says that when you get a job, your responsibility is the same as a kid, and it's to do what your boss tells you. How many of you have ever had to manage people on the job? Raise your hand. Okay. Have you ever found that a lot of times when people come in to work for you, they want to help you reinvent the wheel as far as what their job description should be? It's like, you know, I want to come in and, you know, I don't want to do that. When you hire someone, do you ever ask them if they want to do stuff? No, you have a job description of what you want them to do, and all you want them to do is to do it, right? Now, if they've been there a long time and they learn, then you can listen to them. But man, the first thing that Paul says there, obey your earthly masters. It is important for you to understand that if you're employed, whatever they tell you, if they tell you to be there at 8, that means 8. I'll go this further to say, it means before 8. Gregory rule. That would mean 7:30 if you work at 8. My wife, she gets to school at 6:30 in the morning for her 8 o'clock class. What is wrong with her? Well, she wants to be ready. You need to understand that you need to try to please. Now get this. You need to try to please your boss. You need to try to be the employee of the month. Here's the only way people want to be an employee of the month. The only way you want to be an employee of the month if there's a prize involved, right? Or there's money involved. I've never seen anybody want to be employee of the month just to be employee of the month. But I'm telling y'all, Christians are supposed to be different. And then look what he says. He says, try to please them all the time. Clayton, how would you like it if all your employees that you've ever had or ever will have, their main goal in life was to please you all the time? How good would work be?
I'd be pretty wealthy.
Brent, what about you? What if they came to work? Billy, what about you? What if your guys came to work, hey, and say, hey, Billy, Brent, we just want to please you today. Would you faint? And yet when I look at the scripture, that's kind of what it says. It basically says you try to please them. And then he says, not just when they are watching. Oh, I mean, we all know what it's like when the boss is there. You know, I remember my uncle had a store in Sherman, Texas that I worked in. And he had the two-way mirror. And in his office, if you stood there, he didn't tell me that. I was just standing there one time looking at this mirror thinking, why does he have a mirror in his office? And then I realized I could see people moving on the other side of the mirror. And let me tell you what. People do dumb things at work when they don't know the boss is watching. And I mean, I'm just in the back room and I'm sitting there watching them act like idiots. And what Paul is saying here is don't just obey them when they're there looking at you. You need to try to obey them all the time. And then he says, serve them sincerely. Now, if you've ever been a boss, I'm trying to think of a decent word I can use to describe a person who comes in, who kisses I want you to think that he's... Maybe that's not the word I should have been looking for. Huh?
Brown nosing.
Brown nosing. Don't ever look that up, where that came from. I have. Yeah. Everybody's going to go home. They're not going to look at their Bibles. They're going to go home and look at the word brown nose. That brown nose at work, they're when you're there, they're good. But when you're not there, and see, I just don't get this, that the scripture is so clear, not just when they are watching, serve them sincerely. Why? Because of your reverent fear, because of your respect of your boss, who is God. If you have a job, you don't really work for your boss. You work for God. You are His witness in your job. And what Paul is saying here is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be a different kind of worker. You ought to try to be the employee of the month. You ought to be the kind of person who goes the second mile. You say, Bill, why? I only get paid to work. You've already messed up. You're there to represent Christ. It's more than work. I would say this, work is better if you make a game out of it and you work hard at it. If you make it a competition. Not too long ago, we were doing it upstairs. We were bringing all that. Remember that? We had all those long, hard, those flooring, those big boxes. Remember that? And so we got up there and we were just a bunch of men trying. I'm thinking, this is heavy. But, you know, we kind of made it a game trying to hurry and get it unloaded. I'm telling you, employees go the second mile because of Christ. And they understand that they influence the people they work with. If you're a Christian and you're always talking about how you hate your job or you don't do your best on the job or you wish you had another job, all you're doing is ruining your testimony. If you want another job, you need to get another job. And quit with dignity, but don't always be complaining about your job. Teenagers, man, you ought to be standouts at work. I know, I hired teenagers. You say, Bill, this is all crazy. No, it's just biblical. We ought to strive to be the best we can be at work. The employee of the month. And we need to understand, here's what I promise you. If you work harder than everybody else that you work with, after a while, they're going to ask you why. They're going to want to know, why are you working this way? They will want to know why. Because nobody does that. Be the employee of the month. Well, then there's a second thing that is, I think, incredibly important. It's this. Every day is boss's day. Why? Because God's your boss. It says in verse 23 and 24, it says this. It says, work willingly. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Every day is boss's day. If you're the owner of the company, you still have a boss. If you know Jesus Christ. And he says there, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord. You see, so many times we say, well, I have a bad boss. I have a bad boss, so I'm going to work poorly. That's not very spiritual. And you need to understand that when you have a bad boss, you need to change who you work for and make sure you know you're working for him. People will notice that as well. When they see you working hard, even if it's a menial job, they will want to know why. Paul basically says every day is boss's day. When I was in Horatio, and I've told this story before, but that's the last non-church job I had. Because we were so poor and had so many kids, I took a little part-time job cleaning the laundromat. And you would not believe what people do in washing machines. Y'all are laughing because you know. I mean, and you know, my job at the end of the day was to go in and clean them out. Let me repeat it. You would not believe what people do in washing machines. And here I am, this white middle class boy in Horatio, Arkansas, who's the preacher boy, and I'm cleaning the laundromat. And it was nasty. I would have to clean the machines out, mop the floor, and I'm telling you, people, I knew the people that owned it and I loved them, but I did that job for God because I made myself do as good of a job as I possibly could. And that's the only way I made it. People, the funny thing is they couldn't hardly find anybody to take the job before I took it. And after I took it, they'd all, kind of the rumor around town was, you ought to see the preacher working down at the laundromat. And when I quit, everybody wanted my job. And I'm thinking, oh my, because it was hard. Every day, 7 days a week, unlock it, lock it, clean it. But I did it for God. Every day is boss's day, and you may be saying, well, I'm not getting paid what I deserve. I'm not getting paid what I should get paid. Well, you need to understand, it says in verse 24, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. I would imagine there were a lot of slaves who were saying to Paul, hey, I don't even get paid. And what Paul said was, someday you will be rewarded for how you work on this earth. You need to realize every day is boss's day. And here's the strange thing. Absolutely, hardly anyone else will do that. Everybody there, you watch. What I've learned about work, if everybody's lazy, everybody's lazy. I worked at Johns Manville, and I remember I was a kid. I got paid a lot of money to work there, and it was just manual labor. And there were two shifts. There was the shift from 7 to 3, and then the next week you would work from 3 to 11. And I never could figure out why everybody wanted to work 3 to 11. Because I'm thinking, that's when you play, is it not? And then I worked from 3 to 11. You see, from 3 to 11, there's very few bosses there. And when it got time to go home, people went home literally with stuff that belonged to the company. And people were breaking all the rules. Why? There was no one there to watch them. And they said, you know, they owe it to me. And so we need to understand. We need to understand that every day is boss's day. And here's the last thing. There are no small jobs. In verse 25, it says, but if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. And then if you look at verse 1, he speaks to bosses. And if you're a boss, it says this, masters, be fair, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. And what he is saying there is, don't ever think that anything you do is small time. That little job or that big job, they're all witnessing opportunities. And basically what he's saying is you're accountable. Now, if you're a boss, you're accountable for how you treat your employees. If you have trouble with your employees, you're accountable for how you treat them. He says you should be fair and just. And we need to realize that in the world we live in today, that just goes against what everybody thinks and believes. And I think that's one of the major reasons the church is losing respect in the community is because no one works hard anymore. No one takes their job seriously. You know, Matthew 25:23 says this. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." I think that in the Christian life, God always starts out with the little things. And when you handle the little things, he gives you bigger things. I believe that is especially true of the church. Let me tell you what. Anytime you, there's no little kid that's not worth your best. There's no little teenager. There's no adult that's not worth your best. Those kids deserve 100%. There's no little jobs. When we do vacation Bible school in June, it's not a little job. It's a big job. And it can have an eternal significance on a kid. You know, let me give you an example. This kid's not here today. He'll be here soon. A couple weeks ago, Wayne brought me a kid, said he wants to talk to you about becoming a believer, a Christian, which is why we have Wednesday nights. And this kid comes in and he says to me, he says, "Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I need to get saved." So what are you talking about? "So I'm a Christian, but I need to get saved." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I go to church every Sunday. I have a Bible. I believe there's a God. My parents go to church. But I need to get saved." And in the children's group, they had been talking about, I know, going up to the resurrection and about Christ dying for sins. And one of the things he told me was, "I've never confessed to him that I am a sinner and I need to be saved and I need to repent. I need to change." And I thought, dadgum, I got a lot of adults like that. He said, "I'm a Christian, but I need to be saved." Being a Christian won't save you. It's a word made up that Jesus never asked. Did you know there's not one time Jesus said, "I want you to be a Christian"? He said he wanted you to be a disciple, a believer, a follower. Why? Because you can add to Christian whatever you want it to be. Christian is almost generic. And this kid realized, "Hey, I'm a good kid. I go to church. My parents are Christians. But man, I need to be saved." I love that. Now, that came on a Wednesday night from a third grader going to a Bible study asking a very important question. And if the adult would have said, "Ah, don't worry about it, you're a Christian." No, they didn't do that. Y'all, what we do here is very important. You know, never take a church job and give it less than what you would give your job. Listen, every job here is just like the job that you have in the secular world. You have a boss. And he wants you to serve him willingly and for his glory. I really believe one of the reasons so many people don't want what the church has to offer is because they've seen it at work. Because you see, you are the church, and wherever you go, the church goes. But let me tell you what, if you started being kind and compassionate and forgiving, all those things that he talks about in chapter 3, if you started being those things, people want that. They would notice that. So, 9 to 5. How many of you got to go to work tomorrow? How are you going to go? You going to give your best? You're just going to show up and collect a check? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd be with us, that we would understand that work is a good thing. It's a gift from you. And Lord, that it's a way that we can share through our actions why we're different. It doesn't matter what you do. If we do it to glorify you, it points people to you. So Father, help us as we go to work tomorrow to be the kind of bosses that we need to be, to be the kind of employees that we need to be, and that we would understand that we are accountable for how we live our lives. Father, I thank you for this church and the witness that we have. Help us to increase it. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.